Oh God, no, I didn't do an intro. I shouldn't have started recording. Oh dear, this is bad.
You're shit now, aren't you? No one's going to listen to this podcast now because you
don't
have an intro.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't have an intro. No, oh, whatever. Let's just vamp it. Hello and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things. Sometimes our knowledge is excellent, but at other times it is...
incomplete.
That's John, I'm Nick, and bamf my Fräulein, we're going to be talking about Nightcrawler. And is he, in fact, the sexiest X-Men?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Mine was not that different.
Oh. I just realized you know German. Can you do like a German accent? For
ja, ich kann ein gut bisschen Deutsch reden, mein Fräulein. It's just, the thing is I go into my head and I just become like a mad scientist. Like, oh, put the test tube in the circulator. Yeah, it's a fun thing to do.
Okay.
Now we are going to put the electrodes into the nostrils, into your nasal locker. Yeah, anyway.
Wow. So, that's showing a side of your psyche that I was not aware of.
I mean, I have to prepare for when I inevitably need, like, a good German-speaking role, because that's going to happen. For when I play Nightcrawler.
Of course. I don't know if you will...
No.
Okay.
Although, I did take a year of Russian in college, and I was very good at it, so... No.
Yes, you want to be Colossus. Yes.
I mean, I don't want to be. Already. I don't really. I mean, I would do anything, but I think that I don't want to be. But it suits me best.
A little bit better.
After like a year of working out, obviously.
Just get Marvel to pay for it. It doesn't matter. Look at Chris Pratt. It's
That's
fine.
True. That's true.
They'll pay for it. And you'll get everything done. So anyway, we are just gonna vamp today. Vamp and bamf.
Don't tell them.
Vamp and bamf. They know that. I think they're gonna figure it out.
I mean, you know what you're gonna talk about as well, because I have ideas. You have all the ideas, because Nightcrawler is obviously X-Men is a crossover between us. We both know a bit about the X-Men, but like Nightcrawler is never a character that I thought was like super sexy. So I'm interested to hear where this is coming from.
Bring it on. Again, not historically for me. I haven't always thought of Nightcrawler as sexy. I think just now, coming into this magical era of social media and podcasting, you realize more and more people have these kind of... It's like, is he sexy? And then people start talking about it. You're like, oh yeah, I thought that too. Oh, that's a good point. Oh, I remember that panel. Oh, yes.
Whereas before the internet, you just have to, keep those thoughts to yourself.
Especially, you kind of like disregard it, especially when you're a kid and you're kind of closeted. And you're closeted.
Just so a little bit.
You don't let yourself talk about it. But now that the cat's out of the bag and we're letting it all hang loose, it's like, how much worse could it get? It's clearly.
You mean for Nightcrawler or
for all of
comics
us,
in general?
For all of us. And as we've talked about like Star Trek episodes in the past, I clearly have an obsession with aliens and wanted to have sex with an alien.
Oh, of course,
so it's
yeah.
clearly like the pure basic humanoid form isn't my sci-fi kink.
It's boring for you. You've been there, done that in a way.
I mean, they are lovely. And of course, we'll do other episodes on other people who were arguing, are they the sexiest X-Men? Mm-hmm, but I was just listening to the... a Cerebra episode about Amanda Sefton, who's a brilliant character, but she's connected with Nightcrawler. She's his on again, off again girlfriend over the past, 60 years. So they talked a lot about how sexy Nightcrawler is and also how sexual he is. And there is academia to support this. There are PhDs. I don't know if she's a PhD, but there are doctors who have written academically about how hot Kurt Wagner is. So
I'm just glad that you didn't say there are research papers describing evidence of that he does in fact have two penises.
Well, okay, so someone
because
there
that,
is
we've mentioned that before, not to jump ahead, but if we needed like a teaser for what we're going to talk about today, that'll be it.
I am Googling Nightcrawler to penis theory, and I'm going to see if we get any pictures from it.
Okay, I was going to say, you're going to get pictures unless you're careful, but if that's what you're going for. No. I don't know why I'm surprised.
I want the pictures. They were saying that someone did a piece of like fan art about him going to town on Storm, but they had him naked ass up. But so you kind of answered the question that it was only one set of genitals down there.
Okay.
For him. But that, you know, if that's fan art, like, I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, fan art is fine. But I mean, like, I'm more about, for academical reasons, like, if he has two penises, does he have four balls? Does he, like, what's the genetic advantage of having two penises in case one sort of fails or one doesn't get hard? Then they got another backup, you know?
If he had two chances, penises, it'd be more difficult to get them hard. Although he's got a prehensile tail.
You think he's got
a prehensile penis?
Oh my God, Nicholas. You're so gay.
So does one go... What if... Okay.
Sorry. I don't think so, because tails... Okay. Because tails... tails are being moved...
Uh-huh. What if...
Muscles.
We're not assuming... What if they're not the same size penis? What if it's like the rabbit dildo? So you've got like a main penis and then a little penis.
I mean...
Which can...
It's an interesting theory. But then again, we're basing the whole idea of two penises off the fact he's got two fingers and two toes. And those are not different sizes.
His thumb's a different size.
Yeah, but his thumb's not one of the things that are doubled. It's just the two fingers.
Well, they're actually lessened. Anyway, I like that theory that I've just made up.
Go with it. That's what you want to do. That's what you should do.
Then you get like an innie and an outie penis. So
I think if he does have two, then there's definitely there's you know, like you said, there's, you know, as you know, like if guys have like a large penis, they often have difficulty keeping it hard because there's a lot of blood that needs to go in there and have a lot of pressure. If he's got two, that's just basically double the difficulty of keeping it.
He's a mutant. He can teleport through space, you know.
He's automatically got super blood pressure.
But that also doesn't mean he doesn't. You know?
Prove me wrong.
We're living in a fantasy world.
Fine.
To be fair, if he doesn't have two penises, he still has a prehensile tail. That is a fact. He at least has one penis and one prehensile tail, which can absolutely reach around. So I think we're good.
Reach around and then wrap around.
He can literally reach around, wrap around, get in all the good spots. What were we talking about?
It's like having... I mean, if you had... You know, like, people always complain about not having enough time to do everything. I just want to make a clone of myself. Just give me a third...
A penis?
You know, what's the word? Like, not prehensile.
Did you?
An appendage that has, like, opposable thumbs where I can manipulate things, sort of...
Where would it come out?
I don't know.
Okay.
The side. I don't care.
All right, so before we get too far...
So speaking of Nightcrawler being sexy, we've got...
So I love the idea of it. It's not something that I've kind of grown up with, the way that I had like a childhood crush on the images of Cyclops or Gambit with his abs out and that sort of stuff. Kurt was never one I kind of thought of like that. But since hearing all these people talk about how sexy he is...
I will tell you, though, that if there's ever like an overarching storyline for our podcast, it's the fact that you want to fuck aliens. And non-humanoids,
and I'm fine. That's my journey that I'm going through in life, so I feel like I should take listeners.
Although Nightcrawler is a humanoid, well, he's a human.
Yeah, he's not like human looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like aliens and demons, that counts the same thing.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true.
And they're and humanoid. He is part demon. They're humanoid. As well. Yeah. They have to be humanoid because I don't want to fuck an animal. So they have to be humanoid.
Yes, but aliens aren't animals. I guess they're sentient beings. No, but
you know what I mean? They have to be fairly...
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Anyway, so
tell me about, so tell me about growing
started,
up.
Since people started talking about it, I've kind of thought about... I've just put together some notes about how his evolution of how he looks has changed over the years. And I'm sure he's been around since... Giant Size X-Men number one, which was in the 70s. Giant Size X-Men number one was released in Damn you, Wikipedia. 1975. Okay, he's been around for a long time. So he's had tons of art, different artists draw him. And obviously his story's changed a lot. I'm just going to talk about kind of the initial ones and how that, I think, as they're kind of sort of when I was reading it, evolved his look and his sexiness vibe.
Well, that's a good point, because basically when you have different artists taking on the character, there's going to be different kinds of sexiness.
Absolutely. So
It's an aesthetic we're talking about. So it has to do a lot with the artist.
And I think it's a huge difference. So he was created by Dave Cockrum for Giant Size X-Men number one. So when they did the relaunch to get rid of the original Cockrum.
Yeah, and then you...
Cock.
I heard cock and then it had a vagina. There's a bit of a vagina there, but...
Giant size, yeah.
Vagina size. Was it a vagina size?
It's a Dave Giant Size X-Men, yes.
Perfect, yeah.
When they introduced Storm, Wolverine, Colossus, Banshee, Nightcrawler, Thunderbird, and that sort of stuff.
That was all the same run?
Yes. Okay. So X-Men, the original run of X-Men, the original 5+2, mm-hmm. That run had been cancelled and was in reprints for several years because no one was reading it. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was kind of given away. They're like, ugh, does someone else want to do this? They were going to get rid of it. Len Wein and Dave Cockrum are like, let's revamp it. So they made
it. Is it Isaiah Sane?
Ween? I've read it so many times, I've never said it. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. So apologies. I'm not a complete geek. So he was introduced by Dave. I'm going to try and find a characteristic Pikachu of him. And he was very much kind of demonic and alien looking when he was introduced. Because obviously that's what they wanted. We wanted to go from the very typical... they were all white American students. So the new lineup wanted to be all new, all crazy. So he's very demon looking, alien looking. Only for a few issues, he uses an image inducer so that he can go out in public. Professor X gives him an image inducer so he looks like a human. And he looks like Errol Flynn. So he's very, like, I don't know. I don't even know what time period Errol Flynn's. Flynn is from.
Don't ask
but that
me.
Kind of very stylized, debonair kind of character is a look that he puts on. But then when he's into action and when he's normal, he goes into his...
His blue form?
His blue form.
There was a cartoon. I think it was...
No sidetracking.
No. But I'm he's at school, like a young... I think it was maybe like Wolverine and the X-Men or something like that, where Kurt was a student and he had this sort of... thing
evolution
that make him was evolution. Okay, yeah, maybe it was evolution where he could like make look like he was, you know, a white
yes,
kid.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was a really cop out way to deal with the character, but
hey, in the comics, He doesn't use it for very long. Like his character arc when Chris is writing it, Chris Claremont's writing it. He's like, no, I am who I am. I don't want to be this pretend character I am. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I found the cover for the original Giant Size X-Men.
The Giant Size.
Yeah, and Kurt's in the bottom left corner there. So I see it. I see what he looks like. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
But like the V shape. Actually, he and Colossus have the same kind of V shape costume, yeah. Don't they?
That kind of stuff. Fang. Sort of thing, and very angular features, that sort of stuff. You know, when he first appears, he's getting chased by a mob, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Cockrum likes drawing him that way. He likes the acrobat-y kind of look, that sort of stuff. So he's very much...
very action.
Yeah, being able to put him in different poses, that sort of stuff. Oh, the curse, the struggle, you know. He's a Catholic who believes in God but looks like a demon. So it's a great character. I understand why people love him.
Okay.
But that's the kind of look he has. And it's very, you know, stylized and cool. So at that point, not super sexy,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
That's fine, because I think in the beginning you're trying to just establish his powers, his background. He's always had that sort of religious aspect of it, but he's, you know, a demon as well. Then that makes a lot of sense with the kind of character.
Harsher look. Mm-hmm. Fairly
very
quickly.
Very dark as well.
Yeah. Fairly quickly, the artist switches over to John Byrne, who does the Dark Phoenix saga.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris and John. So he's a lot slightly softer. He's very... John Byrne draws like very anatomically, like some muscular, sexy stuff. So it's everyone looks really hot. He kind of makes him look a little bit more swashbuckling. So he's less hunched over all the time when he's, you know, moving different angles. It looks a little bit more acrobatic and gymnastic rather than, you know, these hunched shoulders and kind of look. So he's a little bit more lithe is a word that they like to use.
So it looks like he's kind of, he's kept that demonic look, but I'm looking at this one.
Well, panel. He hasn't changed. Obviously, his look.
Guten Tag to you, ladies.
His look obviously doesn't change, but it's how he's drawn is a lot more human-y. Like his poses, his characterization is a lot more. Like that's when he says, "I'm not going to use an image inducer anymore."
Right. I'm going to send you one actually to see if this is what you're thinking about. Is that John Byrne?
No, and that's actually a picture I'm going to talk about later, because that is from the Magic Ileana miniseries.
Oh.
And that is incredible, and he does it brilliantly. But I will put a pin in that.
Okay.
I will talk about in that in a moment, and that's great. Oh, it's such a good moment. what's a good way of showing this with the John Byrne?
Guten Tag, dear ladies. If you insist, Liebling. I love his peppers of the German.
He stands a lot more proud.
Mm-hmm.
In his poses, so it's like more like acrobat stylish thing rather than hunched over or running away or like animal-y kind of clawsy stuff. So,
but he looks still distinctly.
He's not gonna. Yes, he's not John. He doesn't change how he looks. He will always be blue.
But he's not like, because you said he's not using the image inducer anymore. So he's very much. He doesn't quite look human enough.
No, he never uses the image inducer. That's a big part of him. So yeah, he goes around as in his blue form. So during John Byrne, he becomes, I think, he acts more human and kind of a softer, more human and sweet. That's through Dark Phoenix Saga. After that finishes, for a very short run, but he's such a gorgeous artist. I don't know what he's doing now. An artist called Paul Smith takes over and he does a short run, and that is, it's such a very soft and cartoony look, and it's just for a short run. When Madeline Pryor is introduced, it's very 80s as well. Everyone's wearing like big 80s jumpers and leg warmers and things like that, so he draws everything. Oh,
fantastic.
Like
that. Is that when we see Cyclops with his like really short shorts?
You sure do. Yes.
Yeah.
The denim shorts.
The denim shorts, yeah.
That's Paul Smith. Thank you for that, Paul. That's wonderful. and because Cyclops leaves the team, because Jean Grey dies, spoiler, sorry, he leaves the team and Storm's in charge. So there are no original X-Men. It feels like also quite a shift in the comic as itself, because he's not a newbie, which all through Dark Phoenix, you know, because Jean's there and Warren comes back. They're kind of like the new ones, even though they've been around for a while. With Scott gone, he feels a lot more senior. And so again, he seems more confident and commanding.
Right.
And there is, you know, so that's how he's drawn. Like he's casual, like he's walking along the ceiling. He knows what's going on, that sort of stuff. So and it's a very soft and friendly one. However, there is, and it's also when he's kind of like starts dating this Amanda character. He starts before, but whatever. And there is a, I would say, iconic panel of where he surprises her in her apartment.
I feel like you might have shown me this before. But
yes, I'm going to show you again.
Okay.
I'm super happy. and because, like, it's like the end of an issue or something, you see him. And then in the next issue, he has to go and save someone, and he's in a jacuzzi. And then he has to go out and teleport and save someone. So he's nude completely.
Oh, yeah.
It's been suggested that in this panel, he was actually drawn nude. But then at the last minute, they're like, no, you can't do that. This is a kid's comic book.
what year is this as well?
82.
So in the 80s.
83. So they would have had to draw him in the costume. It's the famous Burt Reynolds pose. Which started Playboy. So you can, looking at that, you can tell, because he's got a Banff doll, a plush toy, located in front of his genitalia. So he was clearly drawn naked, just with a cuddly toy in front of his dick.
Oh, I see.
Holding a glass of champagne with his tail. Yeah, but then at the last, I feel like at the last minute, they probably made him wear a uniform, which is a shame. So you can see how he's coming across, like they're letting him be softer, and obviously that's his main kind of characteristic. So his main thing is he's not a broody character.
Yeah.
You know, yes, he's got his Catholic religious guilt and he looks like a demon, but they quickly got away with that. So obviously Nightcrawler is famously a clown, he's lighthearted, and he's really, really sweet. He's been often called the heart of the X-Men, which I think is very fair, but that also makes him very sexy. It's very nice to have a character who is different looking and could be struggling with that, but just refuses to take that approach and is just happy and fun, like makes jokes and great with kids and juggles and flips around, that sort of stuff.
And he's proven himself by this point as well anyway.
Exactly, yeah. He soon becomes a temporary leader of the X-Men, so he's a trusted person. He's a lot more confident and a lot more trustworthy. Let me find a naked one of him.
I was going to say, is this when your sexual awakening happens?
So that's like the next panel. Like he has to go and save someone and he teleports out from the bathtub in which he's in having champagne with his girlfriend and bamps out in the nude across the city and like sticks to a skyscraper and he's legs akimbo, pressed up against the glass.
And there is a kind of thing coming up. On that third panel, is this? I can't tell where this is. Is that supposed to be his tail? Or is coming out of the sort of the BAMF, I suppose, isn't he? You're going to have to show our listeners this panel.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll make a little video for this.
So his tail looks much thinner as well.
It does there. It's not like a hefty dinosaur tail. It seems very...
But also, you can tell that this artwork is already, like, it's because the art style is different, and it's got less of that sort of angular muscles, like the previous one you showed me.
And yes, he's buff and muscly and sexy, but, you know, you put him next to Colossus, even Wolverine, who's, like, tiny but muscly, Cyclops, who's walking around in his booty shorts in the 80s at this time, he's... comparatively skinny, so it's also very much that kind of type of not the big muscle jock. He never claims to be the big muscle jock. He's very much the skinny, funny guy.
He's a twink. He's almost like a twink.
I mean, he's complete. It's not hair. It's fur. They make that distinction, and I'm not sure which I would prefer.
Why? Why do they call it fur?
I don't know. But I do remember reading that it's not hair, it's fur.
But fur is, I mean, fur kind of implies that it's over his entire body.
Yeah, well, you've just seen him. It's blue. So
is the hair blue? Is it? So like, humans have hair all over the whole body as well, technically.
Yeah, and it's fairly similar.
If you, dear listener, know the difference between hair and fur...
Again, I would love to...
Let us know.
Let us know what you would prefer.
And that's what you prefer, yes, correct.
Because I feel like someone like Beast is more of your bear kind of character. And the fur feels like it's fuzzy rather than hairy.
Yeah, coarse and hairy.
Yeah.
So is Kurt an otter?
Well, I'd say he's more like a furry, right?
But furry. Furry means like you wear costumes, though.
Yeah, right. But he is the costume. So.
He is the costume. The but costume yes, wears me, he says.
Yeah, I suppose he'd be more of an otter. Because, he's definitely skinny.
Lean, yeah. Okay.
Nice.
nice.
Yeah, nice.
What else you got?
The next kind of...
Snap back.
Sorry. The next kind of big change is Alan Davis. So... he, Kitty, and Rachel are spun off into Excalibur when the X-Men are thought to be dead. So that's when he gets his own spin-off. So Excalibur starts, and it's at a time when they believe that the other X-Men were killed. So they fake their own death and disappear. So there's a lot more rage in him than we've ever seen before. Like this team kind of casually gets together. With him, Kitty, Rachel, and then Captain Britain and Megan. So a couple of English heroes which have been on the sidelines for ages. So there's a lot of... And then he ends up leading them, and it goes for a long time. But it feels like a big character shift in him. And also, Alan Davis it would have been 80s. It feels very kind of 70s style of drawing. And like with a lot of them, I think everyone loves Paul Smith because it's a very generic, lovely one. I think Alan Davis is one that's like, you either think, oh my God, I love him, he's my absolute favorite because it has a very comic book look, or it feels a little bit old-fashioned, especially if you're reading them now.
Okay. Are you sending me one?
Trying to think of a really good example of it.
Well, how are you spelling Alan Davis?
Alan.
I'll look it up.
Davis. I know it was
one L or two. Is it A-N or E-N?
Why would it be two L? Yeah, just regular Alan.
Davis. Okay, so Davis. It's not like Davies, Davis.
I think it's Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's fueled by rage. That's him slamming Captain Britain up against the wall, who is like a counterpoint to him, because he's like this big, giant, muscled, blonde Superman character who is not the leader. It's more Kurt.
Yeah.
So they have their kind of dust ups. It's also a time when Kurt is single, and they introduce this sexual tension between him and Captain Britain's girlfriend, Megan, who is a shapeshifter.
Oh.
So he can be all flirty, like they like to have him be, because he's so charismatic and that sort of stuff. So again, he's not drawn differently. He's not drawn bigger or buffer like he is in the 90s, which is awful. He still looks the same kind of size.
Yeah.
But because his character and how they want to draw this character is a lot more confident, he's a lot more in control, he's the leader of the team, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He seems a lot more dashing, more like take control, you know, whereas before, you know, the Paul Smith kind of time, especially in the 70s, he's much, oh, Kurt, oh, cute, that sort of silly. He's like, mm-hmm. Ooh, cheeky, ooh, flirty.
And question now, because this is what I'm... So... You sent me a couple. Is this blue woman, is that the girlfriend who's the shapeshifter?
Yeah, so she's blonde at the beginning of that panel. That's what she looks like. She's white and blonde.
She's
an emotional shapeshifter as well. So she, when she spends time with him, she changes to be like him. That sort of stuff.
So in this panel, this is what I'm talking about, where he's starting to look more human now. Whereas in the early ones in the 70s, he was just so angular and harsh. Whereas this, he just looks like a blue-skinned human with pointy ears.
Especially here, when you see him in his training gear and his civilian gear, and a lot of the time they find an excuse for him to be in his underwear or naked, that sort of stuff. He's just a blue guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Than,
yeah.
You know, without that kind of costume, he doesn't seem as demon-y.
And of course, in this last one you sent me, there's a little bulge. So they are sort of...
Of where, when he's making out with Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
For sure. There should be a bigger bulge, frankly.
Should be two bulges.
Two bulges.
You had an opportunity to prove.
You had the chance. I will need to look for the pornographic one.
Later. We'll take that offline.
In a moment. So that's kind of around the time that I was reading it firsthand, or kind of getting into X-Men, was around this sort of time. And that's why I think it really depends on where you dipped in, whether or not you're going to find him sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's that first demon one. This is a cool one, kind of comparing different faces. Look at him at the, you know, on the left, that's him drawn by Dave Cockrum.
Oh, I see.
And then on the right is Alan Davis. Like, they look the same, and the one on the second one is, I think, Paul Smith. You know, obviously it's the same shape, but he looks completely unrecognizable. Like, he's smiling and flirty.
It's almost like back in the 70s, they didn't really care as much as if he was attractive, so to speak. And then as time goes on, it's like, oh, we can do something else with this character that is, you know, to make him more appealing. And just change his aesthetic slightly.
Again, maybe the 80s was just a really horny time.
So... That's also true.
And we all know Chris Claremont was horny as fuck, and he was writing this.
When did he get it? And also, if Chris Claremont was drawing him, why doesn't Nightcrawler have any bondage gear?
He was only riding him. Writing! That was a T, not a G.
I did think there was something else. I was like, what? What? Is he, when was that?
Need to speak better English. I'm not American.
Enunciate, Nicholas. Just like me. Him. I definitely speak the correct speed, etc.
Goodness okay. me, I'm so sorry.
So when does Chris Claremont come in then?
From the start. He's been writing it the whole time. Writing the whole time.
Of course, this. I got it. So wait, how is he writing it and sort of writing his women with bondage gear? Does he just say sort of like leave a note with the illustrator? And
yeah, for sure. But sure also the way, you know, he does the characters and says that, oh, they're in control, or he has lots of thought bubbles, which they don't really do anymore, thinking about all that kind of stuff, and makes sure that the women characters are the more powerful, more fully formed, that sort of stuff. So there's always the power dynamic of the women.
Gotcha.
Which screwed us all up. Or made us, you know, better people. Made us...
Yeah.
Bondage feminists. So that's... Oh, here's a great one. This is Alan Davis as well. And I've never read this one. Which I should, because it's the Cross Time Caper. But look at that. What a slut wow. he is.
That is definitely a different shade of blue.
Like, yeah, they're not...
Is that supposed to be Kitty in the background as well or something?
Yeah, that's Kitty on the left, Rachel mm-hmm. on the right, and that blue one must be either Megan or some sort of alien creature. For the Cross Time Capers, please correct me. That was a big kind of like arc, I know, in Excalibur, but I don't think I read it. Kind of fell off at that point. Maybe it's because he was blue and different looking, but they were never afraid to draw him naked. But I wonder if that makes him more palatable, because he looks kind of like, and they have a cuddly toy of him that looks like that. So maybe it feels less aggressively sexual and naked. That's little did they know.
Twisting the minds of young boys across the nation.
Here we are perving over blue.
That's
boys.
A good point, actually, because if it was a human person with, like, let's be honest, probably white skin, and they drew him wearing that or next to nothing, it would be a little bit overtly sexual. Because he's blue, it's not as overt.
He's a cartoon. It's a character. Like, is he blue? Like, is that his? You know, because his outfit. Like, sometimes because they drew black with blue highlights, because that's how you had to ink back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
When he's wearing his, because his it's black. And the red thing, if it's highlighted with enough blue, sometimes you're like, is he wearing anything, or is it just like that red V? He's not. He's wearing fully black, which is a shame. But
and his hair is blue as well. If you know, and all these.
Yeah, exactly. But then they put him in shadow, and so his face is black, but it's not. It's blue. So it's kind of the illusion of like, is he always naked? But he's not. But is he?
Is he?
He's naked.
Hey, this is fantasy. This is a comic book. We can do what we want with our imagination.
You do what you want with it. And that's exciting. Shall I share a couple of... And then there's this one. So, like, those are the main artists before.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
That's kind of... Like, they did his, like, seminal runs in different titles. He mm-hmm. did so many people who've drawn him since. I couldn't go through all of them. There's some good ones. Like, I love John Romita Jr., but that's kind of like in between those two, that sort of thing.
Okay. So we've got evidence of whether or not he's the sexiest X-Men. We've got he's almost always naked or showing some skin. He's very muscly. He's a bit of an otter.
The sexiest thing about him, without a doubt, is the fact that he's so confident and comfortable, but not arrogant. He's not mm-hmm. Wolverine, who's like, the best they read them, and I do. You know, he's not.
Yeah.
He's also not brooding Cyclops, who like questions his every decision. He's not morose about it or anything like that. He's not like Warren, like Angel, who is a billionaire white guy who's ripped and sexy as fuck, who's like, yay, everything's great for me. He's not. He's so much more humble and caring and sweet, but also like, I'm really sexy and really sexual at that same time. It's that perfect kind of... Because it's such a big part of his character is that he's the sweet, caring guy, but mm-hmm. also, you know, a debonair kind of character. It works.
He doesn't take himself seriously.
Not at all, but he's seriously sexy.
Yeah.
It all... Yeah. They've tried to make him, like, morose a couple of times, but it's always quite temporary.
Yeah, I feel like they have to put that in so that he can come back to his confidence and it'll be very effective. But then also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, isn't all of his sort of his doubt or his like inner turmoil comes from his religious upbringing slash beliefs kind of thing. But he's never unconfident about his, you know, his sexiness or his nope. abilities.
And he could be. Like, you know, he has... Yeah, when he's, like, morose or doubting, it's usually the Catholic guilt. He's like, is there a God if I've actually met gods? That sort of stuff. So he goes through kind of doubting his place in the universe. He never doubts that he's sexy. That's never... Yeah. That never comes into question.
Exactly.
He's also... Yeah.
Thank you for saying what I was trying to say in a much more elaborate way.
Is that what you were trying to say? Okay.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Oh, good.
Like, he's never doubting his sexiness. He's just like, all the guilt is only from his... Yeah.
Yeah, from that kind of stuff. He's always been... a flirty character as well. And I really liked Amanda Sefton. She's was only a guest. She never got really promoted to X-Men status. She was in Excalibur for a bit. She's a sorceress, so obviously I love that. Like,
yeah.
Hot, cool chick with magical powers. I'm in. All in. So she was a fairly consistent girlfriend for him, but she was never Scott and Jean. She was never always there. You know, you would write her in if you wanted them to be naked and flirting and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So he's always been, and then when she disappears for a while, because they want him to be flirting with Megan and then flirting with another character in Excalibur, that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's very much a part of his character.
Yeah.
You know, God knows what Wolverine does romantically. Colossus is all sorts of screwed up because all this kind of stuff. Not Kurt. He knows it's like, ooh, I like you. I'm going to flirt with you. And when he's with Amanda, it's not necessarily that they're exclusive, but he is into it. It's no cheating. There's no doubt, that sort of stuff. They're very into each other and very that sort of stuff. But it's never, oh, what am I going to do? She doesn't love me back. You know, it doesn't have any of that kind of Scott and Jean stuff. So it's always seen very positively because, you know, they want to have him flirting with that sort of stuff. Megan a little bit, because Megan's character was with this other character, so he kind of, you should be doing better, like, you shouldn't take, you know, he's an alcoholic, that sort of stuff. But they quickly make out, and then, no, we can't, and then, you know, there's another character who comes in, and he flirts with her, and then he's always charming and flirting with the female baddies and that sort of stuff, because that's his Spider-Man quipping kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even more so than Spider-Man. Fun fact, he's Spider-Man at the moment, by the way, but we'll get into that later.
Oh? Like in the current comic book kind of thing?
He's playing Spider-Man at the moment. So that's a big part of it, that his romance and stuff is majority positive and fun and of enjoyment rather than I'm rogue, I can't touch him. You know, it's not really played for that.
Yeah.
For the majority of the time. So he has a great relationship with the ladies. One could also suggest that he has a great relationship with the fellas.
I've seen this one before, and I think you've seen me before.
I've shared this with as many people who will look at this. I can't tell if this is real or not.
I don't think this is a cover, though.
I've seen it without the cover mark. So we're talking about, what is it, Wolverine number 6 from God knows when. The infamous... cover, air quotes, we think. We'll see if we can find if it's real. Where Logan is at a table. Is it in a bar? No, why would it be in a bar? I don't know.
But he's got probably, his coat. Probably not.
But he's got his coat on the back of a chair. Why would he have that in the house? Anyway, he's drinking a beer, and then he's turning to look over his shoulder, and there is Kurt, fully nude.
Yeah, and there's no ambiguity here.
Right, I'm not misreading that there's shadow or anything like that.
Well, for those of you who can't see this, basically you see, it's basically just part of his body, but it's silhouetted. So you do see like maybe like a bit of light on the side, and it's obviously him because you see the tail.
For sure.
But you see the light just coming across the side of his body, and there's no garment. What are you gasping for?
I accidentally put Nightcrawler nude.
Searching.
That is, and not what we. That's not the right thing.
I won't be describing that, dear listener. I'm afraid.
It's not. Oh my god. Mom. No.
His mom.
Yeah.
Well.
With him and Mystique. Sorry. No. Don't do it. It's never. And that's him with Kitty. No.
But that's him with. I see one with Wolverine.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, next to the Mystique one. Anyway.
Oh, yes, I've got it. There we go.
But none of them have two penises, though. Anyway, this is a sidetrack.
No, I can't see any I can't see any double penises, so...
So these are obviously clearly ones, drawings that for people who have no idea what they're talking about.
Fools.
Fools.
Slipping the cover past the editors. It is real, right? Greg Rutka, with art by Derek Robertson, Tom Palmer, in 2003's Wolverine 6.
Maybe he's bi.
Well, let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah. Was that your segue?
How gay is Nightcrawler?
Well, see, this is a question that you did not pose before. So I'm into... This is a new sort of question then. Is he sexy? Yeah, I can take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, done. Okay, now. Thanks for listening.
But now... But is it gay? Is it gay?
He's definitely not gay.
Mm-hmm.
I would never read him as gay.
No homo.
No, not fully homo.
From this Wolverine cover and, I don't know, speculation. Is he on Krakoa nowadays? I don't know.
He is. I lost track of it because he was doing Legion of X because he was trying to find religion. He was like trying to define a religion because they can don't die. So yeah. He was trying to make his peace with that. Some people loved it. I couldn't get really on board with that. I kind of...
So then that gives more evidence actually to the fact that he might be sort of at least a little bit bi, because then if you're hyper-religious like that, you probably are not as open about that kind of thing.
Well, he's definitely not gay. He's a good kind of... No, that's taking it unsexy. Let's keep it sexy. Sorry. Yeah. I was going to go serious for a second. I don't know why I thought I'd do that.
No, that's not why people listen to this podcast.
Yeah, much more bisexual, possibly more kind of like a polyamorous bisexual.
Okay.
Like I feel he'd be much more interested in like group sesh with men and women. Let's all go for it kind of vibes rather than, oh, this is my boyfriend Logan kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
So,
like,
you're...
no strings attached kind of thing, he'd be more into.
Yeah, I mean...
I love how we're pondering this, like,
I'm trying to picture him in these different romantic situations. And I don't want to say that women are better than men, but they usually are, especially straight men. So...
What?
Like,
in terms
he was
what?
Choosing, like, who he's kind of more enamored with, because he's a romantic.
Right.
Maybe that suits his character more. If he is bisexual or pansexual... It probably suits his characteristic more to be that kind of charming, flirty, masculine energy to the ladies.
Yeah.
Granted that, you know, he's been around since the 70s, so maybe that's an old-fashioned way of doing it. You know, Nightcrawler could sweep me off my feet, no problem.
Yeah. I'd let him.
Definitely, we'll have to see how he goes with that, and if he finds... He's got to find some good queer men to flirt with first, and...
Well, it's up to the writers and drawers to do that then, I guess, because basically, like, we're down for it.
There's no way he hasn't tossed off Logan.
I mean, yeah, we've talked about Logan and Scott before.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure he'd be down for it. Logan's been around for over 100 years.
Exactly. They had that alternate reality where he was with Hercules. So there's definitely a hint of interest.
You're going to show me that one.
In Wolverine's mind. So I picture it more of like a like bro jobs kind of thing. It's like, we're really good friends. Like,
whatever.
Do you want to just toss each other off? Like, yeah, that sounds great, mate. Do it.
There are definitely countries where people where it's, you know... cultures in the world where that's not an issue. It's just like, yeah, whatever. It's just like, I don't care who's sucking me off. Just, it doesn't make me gay or whatever.
Who gives a shit? Just go.
And also,
it.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? That'd be fun. That's kind of how I see it, mainly because I'm just staring at this Wolverine cover. And that's kind
You're just, if you've been staring at that for the last 10 minutes.
Really into that kind of thought. I don't like the idea of him hooking up with Colossus. I know they're besties as well. I don't like it. It feels like Colossus would probably go along with it, but he probably doesn't want to do it as much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a Sean Cody video kind of thing. You know, it's like,
I would even
I've never done
far.
This before. Whereas Logan, we'd be like, let's go for it.
I don't know. I think Piotr just seems really wholesome. I don't know. It's more of like, I'll help my buddy out, but I'm not going to I don't think he'd be looking for it.
I don't think his heart would be in it, whereas I think Logan would be down for it.
Yeah, he guess because yeah. Definitely.
Who else would he toss off?
What about Dakin? Who's very much out bi.
He's very bisexual. But then is it weird? Because that's Wolverine's son, isn't it? So
I mean, I've sort of seen porn.
That's not how like your dad does it.
Stepdad. You just call him a stepdad. You're like, oh, daddy. I'll show you some tricks.
Daddy to a whole new level. But I would love to see him. I would love to see Dakin fuck any of them. I think that's a really fun pairing. I like that. Nightcrawler and Dakin.
Does it have to be a mutant?
No. Who else?
Emma Frost's brother.
Oh, Christian. I don't think Christian can handle Nightcrawler.
No, he's too normie.
Like, he hooked up with Bobby. I don't think there's any crossover. Yeah. Like he's not, like, Nightcrawler's not fucking Bobby.
I was gonna say, how come we didn't think of Bobby away?
No, there's no chemistry there. Not between...
Right, okay. They've not been on enough away missions together, basically.
It doesn't suit the same kind of vibe. Like, Bobby is all in his head, which is why I relate to him very well. Whereas Nightcrawler is not. Like, he wants someone... I don't know if he would find that attractive. Or I don't find that attractive for Nightcrawler. Let's just say that.
You can do better, Kurt.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Go for someone who's not stressed about it. Just gets it out. Which rules out Scott, obviously. Yeah. Because no.
Speaking of being in your head.
Exactly. None of that. Who else is in the X-Men? I don't know.
I'm thinking of X-Men.
Don't know any X-Men.
Hank.
No, again, someone who's in his head. I'm literally saying sexy X-Men, and they're all.
Can I just say as well? I think what we're doing at the moment is we're playing Smash or Pass on behalf of Kurt.
Of Nightcrawler, yes, exactly. Yes. Oh my God, should we just do that? Should I just get a list of X-Men and we'll say, would Kurt Smash or Pass?
We're already doing that. I think we missed the chance for an intro, but
no, wait. Okay. Sorry, like listeners, let's go back.
Rewind.
Smash or Pass. Smash. Okay, I'm just gonna go through the little wiki list. Okay, let's power through this.
So what? Are you doing this, or am I? Can I follow along?
You can as well. I think let's just throw names out there.
Sure, I'll look it up if I have to.
If you find some, I'm not gonna go for the ones that I don't. Oh my God, there's so many characters. This was a bad idea. There's so many X-Men. Oh, I don't even know where to start. All right, Gambit.
I mean, I'm gonna have to say. Yeah, you can smash that card.
I think so.
I've also got a thing for Gambit as well, obviously.
Of course.
Who doesn't?
I feel like you're going to be in charge of that. Is Gambit the sexiest X-Men episode then?
You know, I literally thought of that like 10 minutes ago, and I was like, should I do a thing? I have to do a lot of research for that, because I have to pull a lot of information from the comics.
Yes. I think so too. I think if Gambit was in a monogamous relationship, which I feel his marriage with Rogue at the moment is, Krakoa Age will be like, whatever, this is great, let's go for it.
Yeah.
It's not where they are at the moment, so their paths didn't seem to cross at the right time, neither did their swords.
Ah, love it.
That's amazing. I just came up with that on the spot.
You're so good. You should just stand up.
No. Quicksilver.
No. I don't know enough about him to... Is he still with Crystal?
No. It's been a long time since then.
I don't know.
I'll
say pass. Nothing against him, but...
He's another one that's in his head. And I don't think that suits doesn't suit his energy. Longshot. Do you know who the Longshot is?
Is he the one from Mojo World?
He is the one from Mojo. Look at me. Mojoverse.
X-Men cartoons. I think I remember him being... I can only remember him from the X-Men cartoons, and I think I remember him being very suave, so I would probably say, yeah, go for it. Smash,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
He's an alien man-made mutant thing who's polyamorous. He dated Dazzler, so he's queer as anything. So
He's got to be a friend of the gays if he dates Dazzler.
Exactly, yeah, so he definitely has that kind of... I love lots of people... energy that I think he would be a good influence on Kurt. Be like, just do whatever you want.
That's a good idea, yeah.
That'll be fun. That'd be a good way to bring him back, because he's not a great, that sort of thing. Magneto?
No, a bit weird. I think also it's a bit weird because of Mystique. Because Mystique and Magneto are very, like, BFF kind of things. And that's
not
a bit weird.
Not really. They were never in the thing at the same time. I don't think so. I think he's too serious. Like, if you... The guys who were fucking Magneto, you know, daddy lovers. Wait, he's...
Okay,
he
yeah, I see what
going
you mean.
In. Magneto is going in. He's going hard. And it's like, that's not what Kurt... I don't feel like that's
rough.
What Kurt wants.
Kurt's not rough. Like
from
that.
A bisexual hangout. No. Yeah. He wants fun, flirty, and thriving.
Yeah.
Not, like, pound town.
Sure. No, I get that. I just... What I mean is, like, he gives off... The relationship between Kurt and Magneto would be a bit, like, bit of an uncle vibe.
Yeah.
So, pass.
I think pass as well.
Who else you got?
Did we say Beast?
Jokingly I said Hank, but I don't think pass for Kurt.
Banshee.
I don't know enough about Banshee sexuality to have an opinion about this.
I struggle to see Sean Cassidy as anything other than straight. I really do. He was always written as the older character, so he's always like, oh, I'm too old for this. So
really?
Doesn't seem to be like the going along for it. Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have penises. He doesn't have that fun kind of energy that Kurt does he?
What is fun is the thought if like him, Kurt, and Wolverine are all uncut.
What? Where did that come from? Why is that fun?
Why were you not thinking about their penises? Well, I always think about Wolverine's penis because he can't be cut because he's a healing factor, right?
Okay, unless he got a cut when he was a child, would have manifested by then.
Could have healed back. What does it heal to? Like, it heals back to its original form, maybe?
Okay, so why is Banshee's penis...
Banshee's Irish, like...
Oh, that's just... they do. Do they circumcise? If he's Catholic.
It's just you weird Americans. No, it's not.
I thought it was a Catholic thing.
No, it's not. It's really not a thing outside of your weird country. And he's German.
He's German.
He's German and was also like thrown into a waterfall as a child and then was in a traveling circus. So they
could have done all sorts of things for him.
They could have, but they probably didn't. Like, he's like, he's a demon. I'm not touching his penis. Let's leave it like that. I don't think that's going to save him. That sort of thing.
I don't want to anger the devil by touching his penis.
Tell me if you think I'm wrong, listeners. If you think Kurt is cut. How about Bishop?
Oh, he's way too serious.
Way too serious. Absolutely not. Pass. No. Conversely, North Star?
Because
he is basically gay Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Who can fly.
Yeah, okay.
I can see...
But he's married though, isn't he?
Wait. I can see... North Star and his husband... breaking up, having a fight, some big divorce, and he's heartbroken. Maybe he goes for a drink at the place. You know, it's a big emotional thing. Who do you turn to when Kurt. You are heartbroken and everything? You fucking go to Kurt. Kurt would be there by his side and elsewhere.
And inside.
that's my headcanon and I'm sticking to it.
I've got another one. How about North Star and the husband just looking for... a third.
We saw you from across the bar. We think you're really attractive. Do you want to come home with us? Absolutely.
Like we're committed, but we think you'd be fun if you were up for it.
You can tell which one of us is single and which one. how we created that thing. Yes, absolutely.
And the funny thing is, like, I know nothing about this husband.
No, it's just some human guy. It doesn't matter. But that's
it's a non-mutant. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, that's wonderful. I love that. Because again, if you're like, we're thinking of a third, who do you want to try it out with?
Yeah, Kurt. You do it with Kurt. What was this?
That's his hands going with those guys, his tail,
just dancing,
and his feet,
and the feet. Yeah.
You do it with the feet as well.
So yeah, smash it then.
Yes, absolutely, smash. I've got so many more of these. Have you got any that you want to chime in with?
No, I've not looked. I've just been listening to you.
Okay, Cable.
I feel like he's serious as well, but also...
Cable, sexuality-wise, I feel is a similar kind of energy, daddy energy, to Magneto.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Older guy, powerful leader kind of thing. So if he's fucking anyone, he's fucking a twink, he's fucking cannibal, right? He's not fucking, he's not fucking Nightcrawler. He'll be after someone who's impressionable. It's like, you know, I'm not going to do the voice, but you know.
I feel like he's got a lot of baggage though as well, doesn't he?
Don't they all? But that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, twinks have baggage, I guess.
I guess.
Pyro. Who is a Australian, unofficially gay romance novelist.
What?
Like, he's so gay. Oh, wait, has he come out? No, that's other Pyro. Ah, oh, damn it, that's confusing. Yeah, okay, Pyro's a romance novelist who died of the legacy virus, which was then the AIDS thing.
Oh,
he's so gay, but not yet made gay, which is a shame.
Okay, but is he dead?
No, he came back. Everyone comes back.
Oh, of course, yeah, okay, fine.
He did die, yes.
Because he was in the X-Men cartoons, he's like, I think he's voiced as like a Cockney.
He's supposed to be Australian. Again, those actors don't know the difference.
They did what they could at the time. Australian, okay. Yeah, sure.
I think so, yeah, why not? Not his first choice and probably not regularly, but...
Yeah.
I think so.
But if you're on holiday down under, you go...
Aruba, Jamaica, Deadpool.
I mean... I would say no, just the hassle. Don't do it for the hassle.
The thing is, he could,
mm-hmm.
but probably...
Shouldn't.
Wait, we don't need to do this. No. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Like, I'm not that desperate.
Oh, there's so many. Sabre.
Give me three more.
Okay. Oh, God. Hang on. I'm going to do Sabretooth.
Who? Well, oh... No.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. Again, it's the wrong kind of energy.
Yeah.
You want fun, flirty, and thriving.
Also, he's a bit of a asshole.
Also, again, there's the connection, isn't there? Because Sabretooth had a child with Mystique. So he's not a stepdad. But he has a half-brother from him. So let's say no to incest.
We'll pass to that, yeah.
That being said, his girlfriend, his magical girlfriend that I love, is his foster sister. But we don't need to go on about that.
I mean...
Don't worry about it.
I don't want to say this. It's different, but I don't want to say that it's different because hopefully that would still be weird.
It's just somebody
to grow up
with. Havoc.
Pass. Or smash. Yeah, smash. Why not?
I think that would be really fun. Especially because Havoc thinks he's got it all together.
I don't know enough about him, his character from comics.
And he's so not. Like, at different times throughout history, he's been like the put together, like, oh, I'm the leader of this team, just like my brother, mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. And then other times he's like, nah, I'm the screw up younger brother. I don't need to worry about it. So it's very much a familiar kind of feeling where you're like, what mood am I? Am I together or am I a screw up today? And if you get him in the right mood, I think that would be a fun time.
That would be fun for Kurt as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, he'd be like, Alex, you need to chill out.
chill out and take your clothes
out.
Off.
Let me help you with that. There are so many, but I'm gonna. I'm gonna finish. I'm gonna finish with X-Men simply because I'm at the end of the list as well. But that's an interesting kind of one.
Who is this?
Okay. Is X-Men? Damn it! I swung and missed with that one.
Should I look it up?
X-Men, he's from an alternate reality. He's an alternate reality version of Cable, basically. It's just kind of, he's from the Age of Apocalypse. He's this weird kind of super powerful, very 90s character who very often had his shirt open and or off and that sort of stuff.
Oh. I'm looking at the cover art of New Mutants Volume 3 and I'm like, oh.
Is he topless doing like this or something?
He's got he's like wearing a jacket and a bit of a cape, I guess, and it's like open behind him.
I'm still gonna stick with it because I think he's had a weird journey. Like he was this kind of fun breakaway character in the 90s because he was like super powerful and everyone thought he'd be amazing, but no. And then he kind of like disappeared into stupid obscurity. And then he recently made it. I don't know. Oh yeah, that was his kind of return in the New Mutants. and, you know, kind of had a comeback as like, oh, I'm trying to be like young and hip and super powerful. He just seems all over the place. And so absolutely, mm-hmm. yes, would absolutely.
Yeah. He sounds like, Kurt would ground him a little bit.
It's also, he might be a little bit messy and Kurt might have to be like, okay.
So he's an alternate universe Cable, basically, but obviously younger.
Yeah, he's not really a Cable. He's just basically would-be Cable's brother because he's Scott and Jean's genetic child from an alternate reality. But that doesn't mean he's Cable. It just right. means he's his brother.
But they called him Nate.
Exactly. So yeah, he was, but it's not. Yeah, okay. He's messy, so I think he would, but we might have...
Cool.
Some issues with that.
Well, if you, dear listener, have any other ideas, write in and tell us who you think Kurt should get with in a future comic book. Because, you know, you never know. Maybe they'll hear this episode and put it in.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who hasn't already written fan fiction about that character. So true. You may as well share it with the world. You can write to us. IncompleteGeeksPodcast@gmail.com.
That's true. Or give us or find us on the socials. We're on TikTok and Instagram at Incomplete Geeks. Send us a message. We love hearing from you. Give us ideas we like to share in our geekiness.
Share this episode with a friend of yours who also pervs over Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And see who they think Nightcrawler would smash and whom he would pass. We'd love to hear more from you. You can also, if you'd like, give us a little rating on Spotify, yep. Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out.
Yes, it does.
And follow along to get notified of more stupid episodes like this in the future.
So you know when we release new episodes.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we enjoy doing this. We are still learning. I didn't know a lot about Nightcrawler, so I'm sorry if I got anything wrong. Nick is too. As you know, we're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Don't.